and they see many young people, and they will try sometimes to be elementary, and they would ask young people, and not only young in heart, to ask questions. I noticed that yesterday were many great talks, there were two types of talks, great and very great. But people don't ask questions. And for me, it's very hard to give a good talk if people don't help me. So I really expect people to ask for clarifications, and maybe then we will succeed better. So the problems I want to talk about, there are more than 10, and some of them you can call questions, some of them directions for thinking, but they all are motivated by two would-be independent sources. One is combinatorics and number theoretical aspects of it, and one is recurrence in physics, in modern ergodic theory, which comes from statistical mechanics and celestial mechanics. And we'll see that these two things get together in a very nice way. And when you start asking qualitative and quantitative questions, there is what to ask already on level of the simplest possible natural functions involved, which are positive definite functions. So you will see in a moment. So to start with, here is a beautiful theorem due to Sarkozy. Now let's see. Is Akos here? Where is Akos? That's right down as the first question. I wanted to ask him how to write properly Sarkozy. But if there are no Hungarians here, I will do it like this. And so Sarkozy proved the following beautiful result in the mid-70s. So assume that E and N has positive upper density. Which means, of course, that Lim sup of A intersection is positive. Then there exists X, Y in E. There exists N in N, such that X minus Y equals N squared. And this is an amazing result in a way, because here you have a set which is large, has positive density, but you don't assume anything arithmetical or structural about it beyond that. And then it turns out that distances in this set always hit the set of perfect squares. And squares is a small set. And why should this happen? That's a priori hard to guess. And by the way, so other interesting variants of Sarkozy theorem. You can always solve this equation if P of N, if P of 0 is 0. You can solve this equation, prime minus 1. You can solve this equation, prime plus 1. No other shift of prime is good for Sarkozy. Not every shift of n squared is good for Sarkozy. So you already here have plenty of interesting questions. You still can ask where are positive definite functions. Just wait a moment. So that's one of the sources. Now, to start feeling that maybe positive definite functions are here, let me go to Poincaré recurrence theorem. So what is Poincaré recurrence theorem? At least a modern formulation. Well, is it like this? Like this? Poincaré recurrence theorem. So again, I formulated in abstract way, but originally he had in mind some smooth area in Rn and volume preserving continuous flow. He also gave two proofs, one of which was obviously wrong, and the other one had all the right ideas. But so in modern way, it's very simple, enormously powerful result. So what it says is this. So let X be mu t be a probability measure preserving C system. This means that this is the probability space. Then for any A in B which has positive measure, there exists N in N such that mu of A intersection T and A is positive. Well, I will write minus here, but from now on let's assume that my operators are always invertible, and then it doesn't matter. So what this means? Well, if you take any point in this set, this implies that X is in A, of course, and also TnX is in A. And this means that typical point of A, in a moment I'll say why typical. For now it shows that some points in A. Come back. Right? So A, X was in A, TnX is in A, so this point A came back. But why do I say that almost every point comes back? Well, because if not, you take the set of those which don't come back, and if this is a positive measure, then you will get contradiction. And there is a subtlety here for young people. There is a subtlety. You have first to show that the set is measurable. That's not hard. So now, here we see already positive definite function. Where is positive definite function? Here. So write phi of n. This sequence, so function sequence, is positive definite. Now, what does it mean positive definite? I hope you all know that. So if you take arbitrary xm, xm, and finite set of them, this thing will be always positive. It was Hinchin who was first to notice this. Of course, in modern representation theory, functions of this form for unitary actions is the most basic thing on which theory of unitary representations is based. But it was Hinchin who was, I think, the first one to notice that such functions are positive definite. And why did he notice it? He wanted to improve on Poincaré recurrence theory. By the way, I'm afraid I started on the wrong blackboard, right? Now, whatever I will do will cover my previous traces. So I don't know, maybe I should go here. So, natural questions about P of N, which is mu of A intersection T and A. And by the way, I leave it as an exercise that this is positive definite, this is easy. And we will use from this fact at some stage, if my lecture will turn that way, we will see why it is useful to know Herglotz-Bochner theorem. So any positive definite function, of course, has this representation. So elements of the sequence come as Fourier coefficients. That's the connection to topic of this conference. And the question that I will start asking now about this function, hard, and not all of them we know well to answer. So, for example, so natural questions about this function. First, how large, and some of them are known, but still you have to think how to get it. How large can this expression be? You see, in many applications, you want this intersection to be large. How large, along how large set of n's? What can be said about the following sets? The set of n for which mu of A is positive, the set of n for which mu of A is bigger than epsilon, the set of n for which mu of A is bigger. Now I will give you the secret. So the optimal constant here is this. And it's easy to see that you cannot do better than that. Why? Because if you imagine mixing in your system, then asymptotically set A and its iterations should become independent. If they're independent, then the measure intersection is product of measures. So that's the best you can hope for. And a priori, it's not clear that in non-mixing systems you still can get that well. Well, Hinchin tells you yes. And so here's Hinchin's, let me see. So Hinchin's recurrence theorem. So for any epsilon, well, of course, for any x, b, mu, t, for any a in b, mu of a positive, the set of n for which mu of a intersection t and a bigger than mu square of a minus epsilon is syndetic. Syndetic means has bounded gaps. Okay? So there are no large holes in this. Well, that's very satisfactory theory. On one hand, you get as close to optimal size as possible along a large set. Now, how did he prove it? Well, he used spectral theorem. He used the understanding that this is positive definite. He invoked very fresh, by that time, it was 1943, spectral theorem. He did it, by the way, for continuous flows. Now, this is overkill. So, in principle, this result follows from the following nice, so, a way, a possible way of proving this thing is this. Lim 1 over n just show that lim of this expression is always as big as this. This is corollary of von Neumann theorem, which is not well known. Yep. Yeah. And I claim that this proves Hinchin. N from M to N. Bounded gaps are sitting here. It's N minus M limit. Okay? So that's the point. And that's a separate topic about N minus M. But since we went there, let me suggest an interesting thought for people who are interested in combinatorics, in finitary combinatorics. Whatever results we will mention today, Sharkus included, originally in combinatorial proofs, or Shamaredi theorem. So the proofs are finitistic. So you show that if you have a dense subset of large enough finite set, then you have certain configurations. And then if you take a dense subset of Z, you can enhance this result by showing that possible parameters of these configurations, in terms of Shamaredi theorem on progressions, the set of differences, is syndetic. I don't see how you can get it from finitary proofs. So if you really want to pinpoint a difference between finitary proofs in combinatorics and ergodic methods, I think it's here. It's uniform limits. Those uniform limits are there for people who like pointwise convergence. Be careful. Uniform limits are good only for norm and weak convergence. And for norm convergence, they're there because of an inability of Z. The intervals of arbitrary large length, they are just Fellner sets. And it doesn't matter for norm ergodic theory how to average. So that's the explanation. Still, the mystery of how to use combinatorics to get syndeticity of parameters involved, I don't know. And that's why as strong as all these bounds that people look for are, they seem not to imply syndeticity of the set of limits. So this is one of the features. Maybe when Fürstenberg gave a proof of Shamaredi, which was reproof in a way, it already contained this element. He showed in his proof that set of differences of arithmetic progressions in any dense set has syndeticity properties. Okay, now, let's go back to Sarkozy. Let me reformulate it here. Don't know. I am guessing. So, how about this? If density of E is positive, remember E is in N, then there exists N. By the way, I don't know, in America N starts with 1. In France it starts with 0. I don't know about Canada. So maybe in Quebec it starts with 0. Don't know. So in any case, for us it starts with 1, and there exists N such that density of E intersection E minus N square is positive. Pay attention, it's stronger. Now I know that not only, because now take any, if this is positive, take any element in this set, and it will imply that X is in E, and X minus N square, call it Y, is in E, and then it will imply that X minus Y is N square. So if you are ready to see in this formulation a sort of variation on Poincaré recurrence, then we should go back, which it is. Then we can go back and ask here, is it true that there exists N so that mu of A intersection Tn square A is positive? Look, if it's true for some dense sets of Z that you can hit it back by shifting just by N square, why shouldn't it be, nature be so nice to us that you travel and hit back your set after N square seconds? And this is true. Moreover, this fact and this fact are equivalent. And I don't mean equivalent in logician's sense. Equivalent in the sense that they can derive each from other in very finitely many lines or pages. Okay? Now, and then four, ask questions one, two, and etc. about three. And here already you have interesting new life. For example, this is no longer true, this type of theory. What is true? So here I still am with questions, so I'm posing them as questions to you because for most of you they're new. But so far we know answers. But the moment you shift a little bit from here, you stop having answers, and I will start now formulating open questions. Any questions so far? If you put square here, that's not true. Okay. You know what? Chances are so low that I will give you any proofs, that let me sneak one proof right now to indicate why Sarkozy theorem is true. And then the rest will be maybe without proofs. So, and by the way, there are two proofs for Sarkozy. Original one, three proofs. Original by Sarkozy himself, it's estimations of trigonometric sums. As any such thing, it's very heavy work, but you get some estimates. So it's, in a way, maybe the best proof. Then it is Furstenberg's proof via ergodic theory, and that's what I will explain in a moment. And he uses Weyl theorem on uniform distribution. And then, for needs of polynomial summarity, Weyl theorem is not good. Special theorem is not good. So you have to start looking for soft arguments. And so what I will show to you, you can have geometric proof by using geometric version of van der Korpu trick. And van der Korpu trick is also related to some of the open problems I want to pose, so you will see it in a moment. So you may see even two proofs of Sarkozy or two hints. But here's how Furstenberg proceeded. So first, there is what is called Furstenberg's correspondence principle. And it says this. And that's a very strong tool in getting tough combinatorics for even tougher, from even tougher ergodic theory. So for any E with density of E positive, there exists measure preserving system X B mu T, so probability space and measure preserving T, such that for any N1, N2, Nk, for any finite set of integers, one has density of E, intersection E minus N1, intersection E minus N2, intersection E minus NK, bigger than corresponding measure theoretical intersections. So if you know, for example, that this always can be made true, then you will know this. And you got Sarkozy. So if you want to, if you have Pearson correspondence principle, which is a beautiful thing on its own, but I don't have time to tell you about how to derive it. So let's stick to understanding that if you want anything like Sarkozy theorem, go to Poincaré recurrence, refine it. Whatever you got will give you back Sarkozy-like results. And that's what Furstenberg did. As an example, as a really little remark in his Samaredi paper. So just try to show that this expression is positive. This expression is the same. So look what I will do. Here, if I put n squared instead of n, under the integral, it will be e to the power pi, 2 pi I n squared. So this is the same as, and I switch integration and summation. So this is this. Well, but if x is irrational, by y electric distribution, we know that it goes to zero. So you really have to care only about atoms of nu, which correspond to rational numbers. And then you need special arithmetic argument, divisibility argument, which I don't have time for. But believe me, it's not so big deal. And because of, roughly speaking, because of the fact that squares are divisible by any number, you can kill rational spectrum by passing to multiple of n. And you got it. So it's beautiful. Much shorter than original Sarkozy's proof. Unfortunately, it's not good for extensions, because I really want something like this. So, by the way, this is Furstenberg's Samaredi theorem. I already stopped writing quantifiers because I want to save time, but I hope you understand that for any measure presenting system, for any A positive measure, for any K, you will find N, so that such thing will be of positive, and this will give you here combinatorial Samaredi, because if you know that E intersection E minus N intersection E minus KN is non-empty, then any act which is here will satisfy this, and you got the famous Samaredi theorem. So from this statement of Furstenberg, and from his correspondence principle, Samaredi follows. Now, speaking of positive definite functions, for me today, and I suggest for you too, this is also positive definite functions of higher order. It's good to think of such functions as, you know, higher order positive definite functions. And indeed, they come, and that's, again, topic for mini course, they come from rotations on nil manifolds. So unlike regular positive definite functions, which come from, if you will, rotations, I talk dynamically, but they come from torus. Those functions, in some sense, in approximate sense, come from rotations on nil manifolds. Nil manifolds are much more complicated object than abelian toruses, tori, but that's the logic and that's the ideology, and it's good to think of such functions as generalized positive definite functions. As they say, anyone who will find strong extension of Wochner-Herglotz for these functions will get some prize. That's we will have plenty of interesting applications. Okay. Now, so now I can explain to you, where did they write it? Ah, it was here. Now I think I can explain why prime minus 1 can be good for Sarkozy, because now you can feel it. You see, if you take sequence of primes, look at this expression. Instead of n squared, put prime there.
If you put prime there, it's still, for all irrational numbers, you will get zero on average. That's Vinogradov theorem. Sequence of primes times alpha is uniformly distributed for any irrational alpha. Then you can ask why prime minus 1. Well, think about numbers divisible by 4. Will a difference there be of the form prime? The differences of the set of numbers divisible by 4 are all divisible by 4. So primes are still not good for Sarkozy. Where is that trick? Well, remember, it is also rational spectrum. That's where you have divisibility property to use. Primes minus 1 are just right for that. Primes are not good for that. Of course, primes are not divisible by anything. Now, primes minus 17 sometimes are divisible by things, but not by everything. That's why only primes minus 1 and primes plus 1 are good. And that's the reason why prime minus 1 is good for Sarkozy. And by the way, here I proved it to you. Use Vinogradov distribution, use Dirichlet theorem on primes and progressions, you're done. So now we can, you had a question. Now we can ask similar questions. What other interesting numbers are there? Suggest some numbers. Everyone typically in so big audience asks, how about 2 to power n?
2 to be
n. Yeah. Thank you. This was planned in advance, of course. Well, of course it's not good, but for a reason. Well, in special case of 2 to the n, maybe you can kill the differences, but no exponential sequence is good. And that's already not obvious a priori. That's exercise. So exponential sequences are not good. So then you go to, and now, how about I will, so here is an interesting set. 2 to the n, 3 to the m, n, m in n, and let's order it. So as an increasing sequence, that's enormously interesting set. First of all, it's growing. It was Ramanujan, by the way, in his letter to Hardy, when he wanted to attract Hardy's attention and wrote to him about things he knows to do, it was his estimate of rate of growth of this set which impressed Hardy. This was not the only thing which impressed him. So later, this set was connected by Fürstenberg to famous times 2 times 3 problem, which I don't have time to talk about, but it's a beautiful, interesting, open question about possible invariant measures on unit circle, which are invariant under 2x mod 1 and 3x mod 1 transformation. And it generated plenty of beautiful mathematics. No time for that. But it is same set, 2 to the n, 3 to the k, which has Diophantine properties of interest. So Fürstenberg showed that if you call it gamma, then gamma times alpha, well, maybe I should put mod 1 here, but I hope you understand what I mean. So mod 1, if you take all multiples of alpha along the sequence, they're still dense. Gamma is the set of, you know what, maybe. I don't want to confuse anyone. So 2 to the n, 3 to the m, alpha, mod 1, n, m in n is dense in 0, 1. Well, it means that for rotational systems, this is good for recurrence as long as your rotation is by irrational alpha. Now, in ergodic theory, there is very useful, very important dichotomy. So dichotomy between so-called discrete spectrum and continuous spectrum. So dynamical systems which have continuous spectrum are called weak mixing systems. So system is called weak mixing. So X, B, mu, T is weakly mixing if TF equals lambda F implies F is constant almost everywhere. So no, as for Neumann and Koopman, when they defined this notion, said no angular variables, okay? So no eigenfunctions to unitary operator induced by my T. That's really a simple thing. What is ergodic, by the way? What is ergodicity? You have no invariant functions. And here it's just a little upgrade of notion of ergodicity. You forbid not only invariant functions, but eigenfunctions. And by the way, this is equivalent to ergodicity of Cartesian square of the system with itself, so it's not far away from ergodicity. So this is not too big an assumption. But here's an open question. Maybe the first one explicitly formulated here. Is 2 to the m, 3 to the m, a set of recurrence for weakly mixing systems? And the moment you will have it, it will be applicable to combinatorics, because in principle, since for irrational rotations things are fine, I will be able to formulate a combinatorial corollary as well. It is on weakly mixing side which we don't know anything. And I really even suspect that it's related to times 2 times 3 problem. Okay? So it's a not easy question, but it's very interesting. Why it's so interesting? Because 2 to the m, 3 to the m is intermediate growth. It's non-lacunary. The ratios of AIs over AI, so I write it here. So Fürstenberg showed for a different purpose that it goes to 1 and really it establishes dichotomy of subsemi groups of integers. So either you have cyclic subsemi groups or you have non-lacunary ones. Okay, so this was my first question. Now, and you know what? It was a question which I thought to ask at the very end, but time is running and I think it's related to, where is it? Here. So this is for experts who like amenable groups and distinctions between amenability and non-amenability. So this function, suppose you have dynamical system with time, which is not Z, but suppose you have some action of some group on your space. Plenty of such examples. And now, say, so we will say that G group, say countable group, has property WM if any non-trivial, say ergodic, action of G is weakly mixing. And you can say property M if it is strongly mixing. Strong mixing is easy to formulate. It's something like this. As G goes to infinity, what does it mean G goes to infinity in abstract group? Well, it leaves any compact set, or in this case, finite set. Thank you. Good question. All even substitutions of N. Even finite substitutions of N.
What's an even substitution of N?
You know, so the group of permutations.
Okay.
And now you go to N, okay. Permutations of N.
Okay.
You factor out transpositions, and then this is an example. And there are others. But open question is there an amenable group with property M? And no one knows. Now you should ask me, what is an example of a group with property M?
Oh, free group, is that
it? Oh, no. No, free group has everything. It's like that sometimes. No, it's SL2R. So SL2R is an example of a group. Typically people know just the fact that it has trivial, almost periodic functions, but it's more than that. Every action is strongly mixing. In representation theory, they formulate it by saying that this group has property of decay of matrix coefficients. So any group with decay of matrix coefficients, that group is property M. What I don't know, and anyone whom I ask doesn't know, if there are amenable groups with property M. Okay. Now I want to say something about van der Korfboot sets, because this should be close in spirit to people here. So no one asked me, but I will tell you that there exists necessary and sufficient condition for polynomial to be good for Sarkozy. Sufficient condition would be P of 0 equals 0. But that's not necessary, because if you take square minus 1, it is still good for Sharkozy. And apropos, for you to be puzzled, n square plus 1 is not good for Sharkozy. So there is something there, but the hint comes from divisibility. So it was Kamai and Mendes-Franz which established the following criterion. So if you, for every A, your, the values of your polynomial hit any progression starting at 0, that's necessary and sufficient condition. And when you ask then what are the examples, non-trivial examples. So this is trivial example. Why? Because if you put here n plus 1, the set of values is the same as n plus 1 square minus 1. And this one is already n square plus 2n. So that's back to polynomials having 0 at 0. So you may guess, and some people wrongly guess, that by shifting variable you get to the... No. There are crazy polynomials like this one. Let me see. Is 221 product of 5 and 41? No, so I want 5 times 41, 205, yes. Why did I say 221? It was from different example. So 205. This is an example of polynomial which obviously has not shift property. It has property that 0 is not part of its range. Yet it's good for Sharkozy. And this was established by Kamai and Mendes-Franz. And they, in that paper, they also, well, not this polynomial, but the criterion. And to classify all polynomials good for this criterion is not clear how. You need to go to Galois theory. It's very interesting. But that's maybe not for ergodic theorists. But in any case, what are van der Korput sets? So first of all, I have to tell you what is van der Korput trick. So if, so you are given a sequence, given some sequence in R, if for any h xn plus h minus xn mod 1 is uniformly distributed, then xn mod 1 is uniformly distributed. That's a very powerful trick, especially when you extend it to Hilbert space valued functions. But as an example, think about n square alpha. So we know that it's equidistributed, that's Weyl theorem on equidistribution. From van der Korput trick, it follows easily because you just take the differences. Thank you. And now look at this sequence. This is constant, h is fixed. And this is the rational number if alpha was. And you're back to linear case. So it's beautiful possibility of doing induction. As a matter of fact, that's what exactly Weyl did. But in disguise, and van der Korput put it explicitly. Now, if you think of this property, then it turns out that it's also related to positive definite functions. How? Well, by Weyl criterion, expressions of this kind give rise to these expressions. By Weyl criterion, we have to check that this goes to zero. And this is the same as and now, if you have a bounded sequence and you consider such expressions, and then if sequence is bounded, you always can find call it gamma of H. Take any bounded sequence, consider such limits for properly chosen NJs, call them gamma of H. Gamma of H is positive definite function. I'll leave it as an exercise. So positive definite functions are sitting behind, and indeed the analyzing of van der Korpus sets, which I will define in a moment, needs Fourier analysis much more than ergodic theory needs it. So what is the definition of van der Korpus set? So let's call in a way it's similar to what we dealt with Sarkozy, and I will come back to that. Because of Sarkozy's theorem and because of Fürstenberg's proof of it, we know that for Poincaré recurrence you don't have to stick to all ends. You can go along squares. So you can ask similar question here. More facts you know, more you see how similar it is. Do we have to check all H's? Maybe if you check only squares, it's good enough. Maybe you can go along any set which is good for recurrence and it will be enough. Okay? And it's other way around. If it's something is good for recurrence, it's good for van der Korpus. It's not true other way around. But so, I don't know, to save time, let us agree to call a set van der Korpus good. If this is a set of H's which is enough to stick here to check for uniform distribution. And then for van der Korpus sets, you want an example of something which, and then you can prove that every set which is good for recurrence, and then you can show that any set which is good for van der Korpus is good for recurrence. But how about other way around? That's not true. So Burgen has a paper, very complete, I cannot understand it, where he shows that it's not true other way around. So I will offer you now as an open problem a class of sequences among which I think example can be found. And before doing this, then how about I finish right now? So then I will do this. I will just tell you very briefly about sets which are good for multiple versions of this, and let's start with n-square. So when I said, looking for clean blackboard, maybe I... So I will say this. Known, the set of n for which mu of a, tn square a, and any polynomial is syndetic. This we do know. What unknown, optimal constant for lim 1 over n minus m mu of a intersection tn square a. Namely, it should be bigger than some constant which depends on mu of a. What is this constant? This is problem about finite fields. What similar? How about optimal constant about this limit? That's about generalized unknown, really. Now back to this theorem. So what is true? This is correct. And Hinchin, no, not this, this. It's correct, this too, but Hinchin's proof of this was an overkill. He did it through this. You can use sets of differences and show that actually for any infinite set of differences, you can show that mu of A intersection Ni minus Nj has to be positive for some Ni and Nj. This implies syndeticity. Why? Of good ends. Because think about set of good ends. If it's not syndetic, there are gaps. In those gaps, you can put set of differences. Now, you can do it also with mu square of a minus epsilon, and that's the reason why Hinchin is true along set of differences. Along squares, it's wrong. For squares, sets of differences are not, so this is good, but this not good. Now, what are sets which are good for big intersection, which are similar to differences and come from different worlds? So far, all I had on the blackboard, what in Fourier analysis people like, this is Chesaro averages. The truth is that to get final results, especially with combinatorial applications in mind, you should take limits along ultrafilters of special kind. Since it's the end of my talk, I will be excused if I even will not tell you what is an ultrafilter, but this is element of Stone-Chet compactification of integers. There is algebra there. You can take limits along them. Some of those ultrafilters are much better than others. They're called idempotent ultrafilters. And they have the same features as Chisaro limits, including projections at the limits, orthogonal projections. If you use them, you will discover why Hinchin is true with this formulation. And it still will not help you with Chisaro averages. And then it is all those ultrafilters which actually are related to a variation of set of differences which is much more powerful. These are so-called IP sets. And I will formulate what is IP set, and maybe it will be IP set generated by sequence XI. It's all possible sums. So you think about an infinite sequence as a generalized semigroup, as generating generalized semigroup. You take all possible sums of it. Now it turns out, and that's result due to Fürstenberg, Makachin, and myself, that along these sums you get quadratic polynomial recurrence. This is a result of Makachin that they have, that you have polynomial semi-ready theorem. Well, polynomial semi-ready is itself not so simple thing, but you can get it along IP sets. Polynomial semi-ready is joint result with Sasha Leibn. With Makachin, we extended to IP sets. Now, why it is so interesting? Because I claim that squares along IP sets, while being good for Poincaré recurrence, that's our fact with Fürstenberg and Makachin, are not good for van der Kolk sets. I think I'm done. Thank you for attending.